Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, good morning, everyone. This is Sabra Robinson, host and founder of Fresh Fire podcast series for widows, representing Black Women Widows Empowered, which is a very new nonprofit organization that basically began as a meetup group here in the wonderful city of Charlotte, North Carolina, and now in Baltimore, Maryland. Currently, we are present via social media, so visit us at facebook.com/ Black Women Widows Empowered, and we can also be followed on Instagram and Twitter with our handle names, BWWE. So don't fret. Our website is under construction. So in the beginning, we did start as a Facebook page, and then we moved to meetups. I'm not sure if you all are familiar with the meetup groups via meetup.com, but we started in Charlotte and then created one in Baltimore. So now we have this radio show, and we also exist to empower the widow via face-to-face and mental encouragement, online connections, and also our new podcast. And also we're going to be having an upcoming conference next year. So can you guys hear me? One, two,
yes.
Three. All right. And is that Rochelle?
Yes.
How are you, lovely?
I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
All right. I am wonderful. Just wanted to make sure that you were on the call. Ladies and gentlemen, what I did want to do is I want to give you a brief introduction of Rochelle Ham. So Rochelle Ham, she was born and raised in Baltimore, Maryland. She attended the Baltimore City Public Schools, and upon graduation, she attended the Baltimore International Culinary College. And so after she graduated from college, she began to work at Red Lobster, and that is where she met her late husband, Frank Ham III. And Frank, he graduated from Woodlawn Senior High School class of 1984 in Baltimore, Maryland, and he was one of my classmates. Rochelle and her husband, they relocated to Jacksonville, Florida, where they got married, and they had 5 children and 3 grandchildren. And upon arriving in Jacksonville, that's where she changed careers from 1995 until 2015, and she was working in the clerical and caregiver field. Her husband, Frank, ventured into becoming a merchant seaman from 1999 until October 1st, 2015, where Hurricane Joaquin sunk the El Faro cargo vessel. And unfortunately, Frank was one of the 33 crew members who was lost at sea. So this is what brings her where she is today. ever since this unfortunate accident, she has been on a mission to inspire other widows to move from pain to purpose and power. Ladies and gentlemen, I introduce to you an awesome woman, a spiritual woman, a humble woman, the one and only Rochelle Hamm. Like I said, she's the widow of Frank Hamm, and I say his name as such because, ladies and gentlemen, he was a wonderful, funny, family-oriented, and all-around nice guy, and I felt honored that I knew him as a classmate and even as a friend after all these years, and as a representation of Woodlawn High School in Baltimore, class of 84, we, on behalf of our class, we felt very saddened by what happened. And in honor of him and many others who have not been able to, who have transitioned on, basically, we will be hosting a dinner in remembrance of those angels who are no longer with us today. This will occur on Labor Day weekend, and we are very happy that Rochelle will also be able to join us along with a few of her family members. So with that said, the one and only Rochelle Hamm, everyone. Rochelle, what have you been up to, girl? It's so good that I'm very honored to have you here. I'm very honored. So thank you for accepting the invitation.
Oh, you're welcome. No problem at all. I have been up to a lot of things, keeping myself busy, basically on mission, trying to help others, trying to stay focused, and still trying to keep hope alive as well.
It seems like I've been more busy now than
when I was working. I'm have been blessed to do interviews like what you're doing and, you know, just sharing my story and others along the way.
And that is awesome. That is awesome. I know you definitely want to get the word out and be a mentor and encourager to other, fellow women who have happened to lose their husbands as well. So how have you sustained yourself during, this time, during your widowhood?
I've been staying closer to God. Now, I've been reading every day, staying constantly in the Word, and that's the only thing that has sustained me. And people ask me all the time, how are you doing? How are you getting held up and things of that nature? And the bottom line is I'm being held up. God is holding me and God is keeping me, and He's actually carrying us through each and every day.
Yes, and yes, He is, especially those who have lost loved ones, those who are grieving, and I can't say it enough times. I'm so very sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
And you are an encouragement to me. You inspire me to keep going, and I read your posts, and it's just a joy to see how you're just pressing on and just being an inspiration to others. So keep holding on, girl.
I'm going to hold on to God's unchanging hand.
There you go. There you go. So another question. At what point did you look at yourself and realize, hey, oh, my goodness, I'm a widow?
Honestly,
at what point?
I haven't gotten there yet because I'm still holding on to hope, and I'm just not there yet. And it's almost like the minute that I think about becoming a widow of this last incident that happened a couple of weeks ago, I was there, and I got a Facebook message. A couple actually found my husband's work hat. It washed up on the beach. And my hope level just shot straight up. I know, me and the kids, we went down and got his work hat and everything, and it was just like my hope level just re-sparked, and I'm just holding on and trusting that, I know Jonah in the Bible, he survived. It's the story over in the Bible, trusting God that somewhere.
Indeed.
God's will to be done. Either way, just God's will to be done.
And how did you when you were contacted about that hat, At what point, what were your emotions at that point when you were contacted? I know that had to be, wow, you know, out of the blue, there's, you know, to me that's like a sign of hope, hope in, you know, maybe God's purpose for you, hope in just realizing that, hey, you know, there is a God. But at that one point, what were your emotions? What were your emotions? How did you feel?
Oh, I was tore up. It was a total shock, and I was just completely tore up. I was no good at all. I couldn't talk. I was like frozen. Once I was able to get all of that out, I told the kids, and we went down. And I was so glad that it happened to us before we went down, because the family was so tore up. So we had to be strong for them, and they just fed off of our faith and our strength, and they are now become our family members.
That and is awesome.
The miraculous thing about it was Frank's hat is not disfigured. It's not discolored. If I clean his head up right now, I can put it on my head. It's not bent. It don't have no dents or nothing. So I look at it as God's grace, and I look at it as a form of survival.
Yes, yes. Wow, that is an awesome story. That is an awesome story.
It was a blessing. I mean, when we look at the pictures, the ship under the water, the bridge is separated from this. It's bent up, and and the ship is made of steel. Helmets are not made of steel.
Yes.
So that's God.
Yes, indeed. And that's a good point that you made. You know, the ship is made out of steel, and the hat's not made out of steel, but yet survives. And that's definitely,
that's right,
you know, a sign of a miracle.
Exactly.
That's a sign of a miracle. Wow, that is yet a wonderful story. And I know that there's an article about that, and that's just awesome that that could be told, that story could be told, and yet, you know, hundreds of thousands of people can read it.
Exactly.
It's something that really just can just take you back to, wow, you know, that's God. So that's an awesome story, and it's an awesome testimony. Yes, it is.
Thank
and it's
you.
Good that you're staying in touch with that family. And, you know, it was nothing but God that led that hat to the family. Well, led the family to the hat, basically.
I know. It was a true blessing. The husband,
yes,
he actually went to Frank's Facebook page and found out that Frank was a Miami Dolphins fan, and he was a DJ and all that. And the guy, he had the same trait. So it was like he knew Frank. I mean, he was just going on and on and on, and it was hard for him to release Frank's hat to me.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. And it was just yet at that time, at that second, at that minute, you know, that they were there to see it. And it could have been some kids that could have found the hat and could have just thrown it away.
Exactly.
But yet it was that family, and they had that unction to say, hey, there's something about this hat. So that's awesome. That is a testimony. And thank you so much for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Oh, wow. Rochelle, you know, in light of all of this, you know, we have to, you know, us widows, we're told, you know, we have to move on. So what do you do for fun? What do you find time to do to, you know, maintain your laughter? I would have to say maybe Frank's funniness, because Frank was funny. So how do you even in class, when we were in class in school, you know, it was always something funny that Frank would say. And that's one thing that I love. I love to laugh, and it was always fun being in class with him, because I knew it was something funny that he was going to say. So what
right.
do you do for fun? How do you maintain that laughter?
I love laughter. It's one of my gifts, mm-hmm. actually. So that's another thing me and Frank kind of hit on. And every day, I don't care what it is, I'm sure, if nothing else, I laugh. because laughter calms the soul and it makes your troubles go away. Everybody has problems, but you have to have laughter. You know, when I look at this, I just thank God that I wasn't in a depression state of with the curtains closed and my pillows, you know, on my head and all of that kind of things. I can still, even in this, find humor, you know, in it. You know, when the lady called me from Tote, I thought that the lady was telling me she was calling from Coach, and I thought I had won a free pocketbook, you know, because I've never had that done before.
No,
never had to call me, you know. And I mean, when I tell my friends now, they laugh at me. I was excited. I thought I had won a free Coach pocketbook. And the lady had
that
to sell out
funny.
The company. So every day, if I don't do anything else, you know, me and my kids, we get together, my friends and family, and everywhere I go, I make sure whoever's around me, we're having a good time.
Yes. That's good. That's good. You never know. You may, you know, that coach may be coming soon, you know.
I pray that it does.
That could be a sign. That could be a sign. That is awesome. Yep. Oh, wow. So tell me, Rochelle, what motivates you also? What motivates you to just keep pressing on?
What motivates me?
Endurance.
33 families total. Out of 33, I'm one of two that's really doing something. And when I think about what I'm doing, now the other families are leaning and depending on me. So it motivates me to press even harder. You know, everybody else is angry with the company. They want to point fingers and things of that nature. But you know what? At the end of the day, we are all hurting. We're all on the same team. So what motivates me is knowing what I can do to help and bless others. That's what motivates me.
That is awesome. So this leads me into my next question. What do you think your calling is, your purpose?
My calling, I believe, this did not happen by accident, this tragedy. Mm-hmm. It happened, I believe, to share my gifts. And with that being said, I have the gift of ministry, ministering to others. I have the gift of laughter. I have the gift of, you know, motivating others and picking people up when they fall down. During this time, you know, I found that me and the kids both, we all needed to see someone, and I'm learning that. Just because you have to see a therapist or someone of like that don't mean that you're crazy, you know, anything like that. It's nothing wrong with seeking help. And I also found out that the Siemens don't have help. Even Frank told me about when he was on the ship, a man died and they had put him in the freezer, turn around no matter what happens. So when you have a person in that state, you know, if you cook it, you have to go in that freezer. So when you go in that freezer, you see that body. So many of my friends are coming to me sharing their stories. So I know that there's a need for help. So with that being said, I'm looking to be a Christian grief counselor.
Wow.
To help along
that
the
is
way.
Awesome.
And now I know why when Frank was gone 4 and 5 months, me and the kids excited to see him. But he really wasn't excited to see us at times because it was stuff going on the ship that he did not share with us. People commit suicide on those ships. People get sick on those ships. And these are stories that you don't hear. I'm learning them now. And I feel that it's my calling to help these seamen and do something.
That is awesome. And seems like we both have something in common. I'm a certified Christian counselor as well, lay Christian
Amen.
Counselor. So let's talk after this.
Okay.
I definitely can you know, kind of direct you to, you know, next steps if you're interested. So that is awesome. I think a grief counselor, everyone, you know, everyone grieves. And a lot of people, you know, refuse to go to counseling. And, you know, I was one of them after my husband died 4 years ago. I didn't see a grief counselor. It took me, what took me to a grief counselor was, you know, my daughter needed grief counseling. And within that counseling, I received counseling. You know, it's that persona that we don't need, you know, especially in the, you know, being a Black woman, we're strong enough. We don't need that counseling, and we need to come out of that. We need to come out of that and realize, you know, it's time to, you know, ask ourselves, okay, we really need to get over this. How can we get over this? We have friends and family, yes, but there are things that the grief counselor can bring out that maybe friends and family can't. So I applaud
exactly.
you for that. Now, I applaud you for that effort. That is awesome.
Thank you.
That
well,
is
I thank
awesome.
God
you
for,
are a wonderful woman.
Thank you. I thank God for the counselor that I have, because he is the one that identified my gift in that area. And he is personally teaching me. I mean, I got my books and everything. I feel good about it because, oh, God, I haven't been in school and classes and stuff for years. And I just feel so good. It just makes me feel so good to know that I'm doing something to make a difference. And it's not about money at the end of the day. At the end of the day, what I want somebody to see is the Christ in me. Because when they look at me and they see me talking and doing this, they have to say there's a God somewhere.
Yes. Yes.
I didn't throw in the towel. I kept moving.
Absolutely. 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 So Rochelle, you know, we're talking about you. We've been talking about you throughout this whole interview. Tell me, how are the children? How are they doing? How are they holding up?
The kids are doing what they see me do. We all hide emotions from each other. We talk a lot. We've gotten closer. And I've also included them in on the counseling sessions as well. But at the end of the day, they are pushing as well because Frank pushed them. You know, my daughter, she graduated this year. She won prom queen when this first happened. Her grades were failing. Yeah, thank you. Her grades were dropping, and she knew what her dad, you know, told her to do. She got those grades back up. She walked across that stage, and, you know, she made honors across the board. And all of them have their own significant thing, but they know that Frank would have wanted them to can and be the best that they can be.
That
so they're doing
awesome.
I don't have an issue of anybody fighting in school, any lashing out, any of that. So they're really handling this very well. They are.
That is. See, that's a wonderful testament to the wonderful mom that you are.
Thank you.
And, yeah, and, you know, what they do, they watch us as parents. And.
Right.
You know, with this unfortunate tragedy, it's unfortunate that tragedy even brings us closer as a family, you know,
exactly.
A tight-knit family. And I don't know if you've experienced it. It sounds like you have, but it's brought my kids and I together more as a family. And whereas I really didn't listen before, excuse me,
right.
You know, I listen to them now. And, you know, I'm listening to what they're telling me, you know.
Right.
I'm listening also to what they're not saying, if you can understand that.
Right. I know what you mean.
And that's part of this, yeah, and that's part of discernment. So grief brings healing. You know, there's a healing process to grief and also a restoration, you know, and a form of restoral, renewal, I should say. And
right.
I've been renewed. It sounds like you've been renewed too. And in all honesty, Rochelle, I was nervous to really reach out to you after the incident. I sent you a message and I know that after, because this was such a huge, unfortunate accident that was just displayed worldwide, basically on the news.
Right.
You know, it was a time when it was just, how do I reach out to her and say I'm sorry without her thinking I'm, you know, and I just kind of stayed back and just kind of watched you, and I watched you, you know, just reading what you were posting, and I was like, wow. And it was the Holy Spirit that told me, okay, now is the time to reach out to her, especially when I heard about that hack. And it's funny
because,
thank
God you did.
Yes, but when I did, you didn't read the note until probably several weeks later, and that was the time around when the hat was found. So look
right.
at God. I just put that seed in there, and God just allowed that seed to manifest by you checking your messages, because, you, like you told
exactly.
me, you rarely check your messages.
Right.
So
I thank God that you were patient with me, because when this first happened, it happened in October, we had to go through Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, all these things without Frank. And during the time that this happened, it was like mandatory meetings I had to go to. So I really didn't even have time to sit and cry or get it out. You know, I was angry.
Yes.
I was hurt. But I was on a mission at the same time. I had to listen. I had to watch. You know what I mean? I had to voice,
yes.
you know, my opinion. And I had to let them know, out of the 33 families, y'all messed up. And I told a man at the meeting, I said, you guys messed up because y'all
yes.
had Frank Ham III on that raggedy behind tuna fish can. I said, we got a problem, major problem. I told them just like that. And it's been ongoing since. I haven't been
okay.
acting ugly, cussing nobody out, but
right.
I'm on a mission, and I have a purpose.
Right. You are on a mission. You have a purpose. We have 28 seconds left. Thank you for talking to us about your pain
You're
and
welcome.
Purpose and how you moved it to power. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining. Rochelle Ham, thank you so much. And everyone, have a great weekend. We'll be talking to you soon. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.